Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. And as your wise man, I'm here to bestow upon you the wisdom that you're listening to Punks Talk Wrestling.
Welcome to Punks Talk Wrestling! On this episode, we enter into the ESP VPN era as we talk about everything that happened at the inaugural WWE Wrestlepalooza. I am R.W. Hellborn, the PA Rock Prince, hailing quote-unquote from Philly! And I am one half of the crown, which is one half of your Punks Talk Wrestling Interuniversal Tag Team Podcast Champion Host of the World! Now, then, and forever by my side, 3,500 miles away in London, England. He is my tag team podcast partner. He is the other half of the crown, which is the other half of your Punks Talk Wrestling Interuniversal Tag Team Podcast Champion of the World! Mr. Did You Know? Sir King of Reels! The Proper Prick, C.J. Newman!
Did you know that Wrestlepalooza came live from the Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana?
Yes. Yes, we talked about that earlier.
That's right. But did you know that this arena was the site of the Shield's debut, the breakup of the Shield on June 2nd, 2014, and the reuniting of the Shield on October 9th, 2017?
Wow. I did not know that.
What happened in the same arena?
I do know that. Oh, man, that's going to be a great Did You Know for Reels.
Well, it is. You're right. Look at that. Yeah. But, yeah, it all happened in the same arena.
That's amazing. See, Indianapolis has got some, you know, some deep wrestling history there.
Yeah, especially with modern day wrestling, where it pertains to, like, obviously Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Ambrose, obviously.
Who?
Ambrose? Dean Ambrose?
Did he ring any bells? Oh, that guy. Oh, the guy with the gas mask. That freaking awesome gas. The one gimmick that would have been the greatest effing gimmick to have had right before an entire global pandemic. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
fucking the guy. Greatest.
I don't know what happened to him though.
I haven't heard anything about Dean Ambrose since he left WWE.
Nope. Nothing.
I hope he's okay.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But on that note,
I wonder what he's up to.
Yeah. Who knows? How's about we talk about Wrestlepalooza? And I can't wait to stop saying that word, Wrestlepalooza. 2025. Yeah. 2005 Wrestlepalooza, September 20th, at the Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
An attendance of 15,176 people. Love me some arena history. Gainbridge Fieldhouse, also formerly known as the Conseco Fieldhouse and the Bankers Life Fieldhouse, has also featured many, many other wrestling pay-per-views, such as the Great America Bash in 2006, which was headlined by King Booker versus Rey Mysterio.
Wow!
SummerSlam 2008, which was headlined by Undertaker versus Edge in a Hell in a Cell match.
Nice! That's wonderful. That's... Yeah,
Survivor Series 2012, which was headlined by CM Punk versus John Cena versus Ryback for the WWE Championship.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Clash of Champions 2016, which was headlined by Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship.
Damn.
And most recently, Fastlane of 2023, which was headlined by Seth freaking Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a Last Man Standing match, which I actually remember being a really good match.
Yeah.
Not only that, it's obviously featured plenty of Raws and SmackDowns over the years, but most surprisingly, it featured one of the very final WCW pay-per-views, Sin, in 2001, which was headlined by Scott Steiner versus Jeff Jarrett, Sid Vicious, Jeff Jarrett, and Road Warrior Animal in a four corners match for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship.
Nice.
So then I think two or three more pay-per-views after that, they were dead. So
what a turnoff.
Yeah. So back to, I've lost my damn page. Here we go. 15,176 people. That's it, I think.
I've got a little caveat to that. Just a little extra bit of Indianapolis, Indiana information. It is Indianapolis, like as you mentioned, it has been a popular spot for WWE. It has had a lot of major events,
especially
there.
Recently. Yeah,
yeah. It's a big sports city. They've got the Indianapolis 500. They've got it's a city that likes to promote sports. It doesn't really have they've got their own sport. They've got sports teams, of course. The Indianapolis Colts, Pat McAfee being a kicker for the Colts. They don't have much else, though. Indianapolis doesn't have, I don't think they have a hockey team. I don't think they have a baseball team. I think they've got, or maybe they have hockey. Maybe they don't have basketball. They don't have much, but they've got the Indianapolis 500, and they like to host wrestling. Apparently they've entered into, they have a deal with WWE, which includes a future SummerSlam and a WrestleMania that will be held in Indianapolis. It also included the previous Royal Rumble that was this year, and an additional Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown tapings, along with quote unquote other select events, which WrestlePalooza fell under. So they had a open ended sort of a deal very similar to the deal they made with Saudi Arabia. It's a deal for
and Vegas as well,
and Vegas, and a deal they make with. Several. It sounds like a deal that they make with several cities over the course over the course of things, because it's good for business. We'll talk about the other stuff. Talk about Saudi at another.
We'll get there another time. But at the end of the day, a business wants to make money. Shocking.
Yeah, shocking. You
alert the presses.
Yeah. So this is part of their the WrestlePalooza was part of their. Deal to host a number of events in Indianapolis. Yeah. And good for them.
Few more things. Obviously, as we said, this is the formerly a ECW pay-per-view.
Yes. Yes, it was.
It's the first WrestlePalooza since the year 2000. There are only five WrestlePaloozas. And if you want to know the main event of WrestlePalooza 2000, it was Tommy Dreamer, The Sandman, and New Jack versus The Network, which was Steve Corino, Jack Victory, and Yoshihiro Tajiri in a street fight.
You know, if we had had an episode last week, it probably would have been cool to
would have tried to find.
Well, you know what? Next year, if we still can,
to be honest,
we could. Yeah, we could do it. We can do a retroactive review of an old ECW one. That's easy to do. Maybe we will. Aside from that, there is on-screen personnel for WrestlePalooza, as there is with all. PLEs, and I'm going to tell you that on-screen personnel right now. I'm going to start. I'll first say their role, and then I'll say their name. as those are the columns in the Wikipedia page. Shout out to Wikipedia, support Wikipedia. On the English commentators table. I'll never get this right. English commentators. On the English commentary.
You can do it.
At the English commentaries. The English commentators at the English commentary table.
There we go.
Michael Cole and Wade Barrett with Pat McAfee for the first three matches. I don't know why the first three matches and not all of them.
Yeah, it's like he had some place to be. That was random as fuck.
I missed that
because like I must have finished a match and sped through to get to the next match. And then it was halfway through that match. I was like, where the fuck's Pat McAfee gone?
I don't think I realized when he left either. Like I didn't notice it until the very end. I'm like, oh, Pat's not there. And they were like, thanks Pat for joining us for the beginning. And I'm like, oh, okay. He left at some point. I don't know when. I didn't really see it. But yeah, I know that he is for some reasons, I don't know, he's a divisive character for certain reasons. I don't know why, other than some people just don't like the way he sounds. I love Pat McAfee on commentary. I don't care what people say. I don't care if people don't like him. Like, he's great. He has energy all the time. He's exciting. He's excited to be there. He loves professional wrestling, and he makes it known how much of a fan of professional wrestling he is. Yeah. And that's great to see on commentary, as someone who he knows the business. He knows what he's talking about. He has his own take on things. He's got an energy that's all his own. And I will never, and the fact is, Michael Cole has come out and defended him on numerous occasions and said that Pat McAfee was literally brought him back into loving commentary, professional wrestling commentary.
Yeah, you need to thank, exactly. Cole was, I will say as well, I think
Cole lost
across the board. Yeah, yeah. I will say across the board, commentary in the WWE is just some of the best it's ever been lately.
Yeah.
Like all the teams across the board, it's just so good right now.
Real quick, just as an aside, it was interesting to note, since we haven't even got past the English commentators. You know what? We'll get through it, and then we'll talk about it later. Well, no, I guess we'll mention it now because we might not, I'll forget. Corey Graves, of course, was not at the commentator's table because he got taken out by Brock Lesnar on SmackDown with two F5s, which is very interesting to see
the number
of people now starting to repost Corey Graves matches from NXT and all of these things. Right. And the immediate thing was, if Corey Graves has taken F5s in the ring, then Corey Graves must have been medically cleared to take those bumps.
150%.
And
what I'd like to see from this, and I think a really good way to have him have some form of comeback would be to, if Pat McAfee is now back properly, I don't know if that's the case or not, but if he is, it would be good to see Pat take place of Corey next to Michael Cole.
Yeah.
And in a few weeks, for Corey Graves to come back on the microphone and be like, kind of, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Kind of more at Michael Cole to be like, so you, I save you, I step in for you, and you don't give a fuck, and then you just replace me on commentary. So I think that would be a really cool angle to go at.
I would love to see some angle that involves... Graves is 41. Like, he's not a spring chicken, but...
Yeah, but so's LA Knight.
But LA Knight is... Yeah, and in a way, he's also... I mean, how long has he been not wrestling? Like, 8 years?
Almost 15 years.
Almost 15 years. Holy shit. So...
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
When did he get? Let's see. When did he get injured? 2024.
Find that out.
Pre-show. Follow.
2000 and no, it was 2015. 2014.
Okay, 2014. NXT Takeover Revolution.
11 years.
Yeah, he did. He announced his in-ring retirement. Okay, so yeah, so yeah. That was 10 years ago. Almost 11 years ago. Yeah. Hey man, we just saw someone come back after 10 years. You know, we literally saw CM Punk come back after 10 years. The fact is, yeah, he's 41, but he also hasn't had 10 years of destroying his body in the ring. He's had 10 years of recovering.
Yeah.
I think
Finn Balor's 44 years old. Balor's 44.
I think
age isn't, that age isn't such a bad age anymore in this
no,
modern day.
No, not at all. I think it's absolutely reasonable to start believing that Corey Graves is going to have a comeback. And it might not be big. It might not be like, you know, we're not talking about Corey Graves' World Heavyweight Championship run.
I think for the very short career he had in NXT, I really liked his character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's obviously going to be amazing on the microphone because he's had plenty of experience doing
Absolutely.
It now.
Absolutely.
I know it'd be quite different, but it's still character work what he does because he was on Color. So I think I'd love to see it. And I think Corey Graves would make an amazing manager as well, even if it isn't.
Yeah,
you know,
he could.
Because managers still take bumps, so I think he'd be a great spokesperson mm-hmm. for someone.
Yeah, it's another thing that he could get involved with.
I'd love to see
yeah.
that.
Yeah, Spanish commentators, Marcelo Rodriguez and Woo. Jerry Soto. Ring announcer, Alicia Taylor. Referees, Jessica Carr, Dan Angler, LA Knight, Eddie Arango, and Ryan Tran. LA Knight was the special guest referee for the Usos versus Division. Yeah. Interviewers, Kathy Kelly and Byron Saxton, pre-show and post-show panelists, Michael Cole, Wade Barrett, Joe Tessitore, Jackie Redmond, Big E, Tyrese Halliburton, and Peter Rosenberg.
Hell yeah.
There we go. There we go.
Let's just get the fuck it. Well, first of all, yeah, we've spoken enough about the ESPN, but we started off with a video package, which I thought was really well done.
Yeah.
I quite liked it. And you had the pyrotechnics that went off with the video package, which was
that was
cool.
Interesting. Yeah, that was
a cool little touch.
That was cool. They needed yeah. you know, they wanted a special entrance. I don't know if this is a brand new, like, they're going to use that all the time, or if that was just a welcome to the Hey, ESPN.
I think it was like, if you think of when Raw was the first episode of Raw on Netflix, they did something with the curtain drop and the video and the arena. Like, I think it was kind of like that ilk.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like a special situation. But jumping right into it, I mean, I was shocked as fuck to hear Brock Lesnar's music hit at the start of this show.
Okay, like, I had already heard that match was going to be first. But,
oh really?
Yeah.
So I had no idea. So when Brock's music hit, I was like, "Holy fuck, we're starting with this!" Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
And I think, well, based on the result, I think it makes sense for good reason. Let's just get the let's just get that out of the way. I gotta say, I was underwhelmed by it. I mean, I guess they were kind of replaying that the SummerSlam squash from like whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't as squashy as that match, but it was definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. Yeah, John Cena did get a bit of offense in here, but
I mean,
first of all, say what you want about Brock, like just on an aesthetic level, the guy is just a fucking monster.
Dude,
he is terrifyingly huge.
I don't know how he manages to keep getting bigger, but like he definitely went from big and cut to like that was like ridiculously swollen. Like he looked like his entire body was like blown up like the Michelin Man.
Yeah, he's like he definitely skips leg day though. Like that. I don't want to say anything bad about Brock Lesnar because he'll like rip
surprising.
My
fucking arm well, he off, doesn't. But... He doesn't listen to this podcast.
He doesn't listen.
I mean, I would be surprised if Brock Lesnar paid attention to anything at all that happens in. In the world, in the rest of the world, like it would not be.
Yeah,
I don't think he goes on the internet. I would not be surprised if Brock Lesnar doesn't even have like telephone service. It, you know, he probably has
you're
a satellite.
Right.
He has a satellite phone that has
at very
Triple
yeah,
H's,
satellite or the very most he has a Nokia from
yeah,
like
he has a blocked yeah. You know, he has a number that's untraceable. You know, that's untraceable. That nobody, you know, nobody knows, except like probably five people. That dude, like, he's a dude who's always been extremely disconnected from the rest of the world. And whatever Brock Lesnar is a person that lives in an entirely different universe than regular people. And
yeah,
and he's just one of those. He's one of those few people. Like he's on this weird level of I don't even know who to equate him to in like a musical sense. Like that would even make sense. Like
Gigi Allen.
Maybe. Well, maybe in a notorious sense, maybe. But like yeah, like I don't even know who to equate him to. In a sense of
he's very much a one of a kind.
Yeah. So like
in any sense.
But I am also at the point where I am personally over it. Like
right.
I don't have any desire or I'm not really interested in seeing him anymore. And it doesn't even have to do with things outside of wrestling. I'm just over it. Like I'm over the fact there's no stories, there's no nothing, there's no point other than he's the Beast Brock Lesnar, and whenever he comes back for whatever reason, it's to beat somebody up and do like I'm just fucking over it.
The only thing, like, the only thing they can do here now is if there's someone else that Brock could essentially put over, like a Bron Breakker,
maybe.
Eventually.
Maybe, but I just don't care. I've thoroughly, my personal opinion doesn't matter to anyone else, but. I'm over it. Like I have, I can't wait to get John Cena out of my pool. You know,
I don't even know why you selected him.
Because he was champion at the time. So I thought I was going to at least get 2 points for all of his, I thought he was really going to hold that title till the end of the year.
Right.
So I thought he was going to have title wins and immediately after drafting him, he fucking drops the title to fucking Cody Rhodes again. Like, so now it's just like, I'm just disgusted on so many levels because I didn't even get a single point from that.
Nope.
Like, you know, I at least got a point from CM Punk, you know, but that's it.
Yeah, I still need to put those scores on the sheet. I mean, this week, getting into our own pool thing for a second, but I mean, I said that Dan had won the week with 11 points. The week hasn't even ended yet because I still haven't added WrestlePalooza, and he got more points from that.
Yeah,
he had the most monstrous week.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, insane. I think we need to adjust. We need to adjust our scoring system because
I mean it's the championship, but the thing is, it can change.
Yeah,
so say
no,
next
no,
week,
I know it's
say
true.
Say in like a month's time, like Alexa Bliss. Well, you've got Alexa Bliss. She's a champion.
Yeah.
Say Rhea Ripley wins the world championship and Jordan Grace wins the NXT championship. You got three women there that are winning you 2 points that is every title match.
But like, but there is, but it also shows, it also shows how difficult it is. But this first iteration of our draft, which I'm still working on the website, the web version. I think I have an alternate scoring system that I want to put out there see if we like it better. Only because there's the difficult thing with this is that, again, wrestling is different. Like, yeah, we have champions, but they don't have matches every week, or they don't have title defenses, except we have one title, Sami Zayn's US Championship, that is now being defended every single week.
Yeah.
So it could leave him open to lose it at any time, and someone else might have it. But like, even those it's difficult to judge on. It's a difficult thing to have a judgment on when it's not, you know, like when you have a football draft, every team plays the same amount of matches. Every team plays the same amount of games.
That's the thing that makes it tricky about a wrestling draft.
So you have to look at, so there's a lot of things that we have to look at, we'll get into it. 8 minutes and 50 seconds. Brock destroyed John Cena. I mean, I don't know what else
to
say.
Yeah, I've got not much to talk about that match. It was just a match. It was fine, whatever. I don't know where this. And now John Cena's left with, I don't know how many appearances he's got left.
Four more appearances left. And everyone has already said, sorry, I know. So I feel like I keep interrupting you because I'm really, really hot about this.
No, you're fine. I don't know where this leads. I mean, I think we've got, that's appearances, and I think two of those are on Raw, so it's like, that's two more matches, and I think he's announced for Perth, so I guess there'll be a match there, but I don't even know if he's got any appearances on Raw or SmackDown before then, so how do you even announce a match?
He already said, like, 3 weeks ago that was going to be his last appearance on SmackDown, but then he showed up! He ran out for whatever it was that he ran out. Just the other week, was it just Friday night? I can't even remember. But he ran out on SmackDown.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if these planned appearances are probably slightly a bit of a work. Like, I think he'll probably appear on more things than it's being advertised.
Maybe. I don't want another John Cena versus Lesnar match. I don't want a Lesnar versus anyone match. Like, I just don't. So that's me. That was the first disappointment all around, because I really thought maybe it was just going to be a farewell to Brock Lesnar too. But now it leaves it open.
We'll see where it goes. Yeah. You never know.
Just completely.
There's been plenty of things that have happened before that you've ended up disliking, and then you end up liking it. So you literally never know.
That's true. I could surprise myself, and they could turn it around and make me care. But I really, really doubt it at this point. We'll have to see. Triple H, you're gonna have to do something really, really amazing.
Pull something out the bag
to make me give any shit about anything else that comes with him. Next match.
Up next, we had The Vision, Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker versus the Usos, Jimmy and Jey Uso, with LA Knight as special guest referee.
Yeah, and
in a tag team match.
I'll tell you what, if you told me that 17 minutes and 12 seconds was the second shortest match of the night, I'd be like, wow, that's long for the second shortest match.
Yeah.
They gave a lot.
PLE matches are long these days.
Yes.
There's no time limits, and we can kind of just go for it.
And I will say, I like this. I like a five match. I like this card.
Great. Sorry, just not to get into AEW, but I saw their card that they had the other day.
Oh, for the same day, All Out. Yeah, before.
Yeah, on the same day, All Out Toronto. Mm-hmm. That fucking card had 13 matches on it. 13.
Fucking dumb.
What the fuck?
Because, well, you know why? I mean, because they want everyone has to get, every single person has to have a match. Dude, I can. 13 fucking matches. Give me a fucking break. Give me a break. There's not 13 wild stories worth paying for for any one day. I'm sorry. You can't tell me that's a good card. No matter what.
Exactly.
But we won't get it. We won't get it. That's just our opinion.
We won't get into that. I enjoyed this tag match. The addition of LA Knight, it was a really good idea, actually. Yeah. I think that was perfect. And he essentially did call it down the middle. He just kind of let the rules go.
Yeah, although I did...
It was 14 matches. Sorry, I just took the double check. 14 fucking matches. Jesus fucking
Christ. Give me a fucking break.
This match was really fun.
If you listen
really to...
You know what? I know there's one person who listens... I know there's at least one person who listens to the podcast that watches AEW. Mark... I want you to tell, shout out to Marky Bradley, our old DM from the pandemic. I need you to explain to me how a 14 match card could possibly be any good.
I will caveat this with
it was never any good. Yeah, so in WWE.
Four matches. I mean, well, when there were that many matches, they would split it across two nights of WrestleMania.
There used to be, but half of those matches were garbage matches.
Well, here's the deal: there were four matches on the pre-show, and then 10 matches on the main show.
Okay,
so 10 matches still double what a conventional WWE pay-per-view is, a PLE.
Yeah.
But when I'm looking at the match type, so back when WWE used to do like a 10-match card. Obviously, some of the matches would end up being
they're throwaway matches, and they, you know.
So every match on the main card, I would just very quickly go 18 minutes, 7 minutes, 19 minutes, 13 minutes, 16 minutes, 21, 20, 11, 24, 38 for the main event. So, like, none of these matches, I think, one match went shy of 10 minutes. The rest were all well over 10, if not well over 20. So that's just the match times. Then you've got the entrances and anything that's happening before and after matches, backstage segments, sponsors, intros, celebrations. Like, I don't know how long this PLE was. I can't really find that anywhere, but...
If anyone listening watched it and enjoyed it, like, good.
Yeah, good. That's great. I just don't know if I could sit through that.
I don't
much.
Understand. Yeah, I didn't like it when WWE did it. So there's no way I would like it when the other people did it either. Anyway, that was a great match. That was an amazing match.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it was cool for LA Knight just turned his back on the usage of weapons and everything like that.
I did like in the beginning, though, where he, because LA Knight basically hates everybody in this match except for Jimmy Uso. And so when Bronson Reed first had the chair and he's like, you hit him with the chair, I'm going to disqualify. And then Jimmy picks up the chair and he's like, yeah, you're cool. And he just turns his back on that. That was funny. That was good. And hey, it turned into like a mini hardcore match, which I liked.
Yeah.
It gave
just a few chairs, a table. Yeah, it was just
people,
and it was fun, and I'm glad the Vision won. I feel like the Bron-Brons, as everyone's calling them lately. I feel like they needed that win. Plus, I had all four people of this match in my pool, so I was a winner either way. The Vision, Bron-Bron as a tag team needed a win, and needed, like, I could see them winning the tag team titles eventually, for sure.
Oh, 100%. I think at some point the Vision should have more gold. But that also means that, see, we've got the Judgment Day on Raw as well, and I think this might turn Judgment Day a little more face again. If we get, you know, if the Vision starts targeting and looking for the tag titles, you know, or they want that IC championship, you know, who knows?
Yeah, or the AAA Mega Championship.
I don't know if anybody in the Vision would really care about that or maybe, yeah, but who knows? True. Who knows?
But yeah, I think definitely with them having a little overlap with Judgment Day would be cool. We had that before when there was like we had like three factions. We had Judgment Day, we had the Bloodline.
Yeah.
We had like LWO getting involved at times. That was quite fun. Mm-hmm. That little period about a year or so ago. So
yeah, I would.
Yeah, it's good. We had to go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, but we also have there are women in both factions. We've got Becky Lynch in the Vision, yeah. And we've got it. You know, well, there's three women in Judgment Day technically,
yeah.
When Liv comes back, but yeah, so there's at least. There's at least people, and it would also make sense that either Roxanne Perez or Raquel Rodriguez might be interested in the women's IC championship. So yeah. There's stuff we could do there. Great match.
Jey Uso had a bit of a mishap. He hit Bron Breakker so fucking hard in the back with that chair, I will say. But yeah, it's so hard it bounced up and hit him in the fucking face.
That was
he got busted open hard. As
it
well.
Is pretty funny when it is pretty funny when wrestlers bust themselves open.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen that. I've always seen it when it's bounced off the ropes, but I've never seen it off someone's back. And you know what? It happens so quick. Like when you watch it, like that chair moved. Like a gap of 10 inches in like not I can't blink and you miss
yeah.
You can't even see it in a blink.
Oh yeah,
it's so quick.
Yeah, you barely were able to see it. He should hopefully he's okay. Hopefully it wasn't actually too bad. It just was, you know.
Yeah, it was definitely gushing a lot of blood, but I think it was just he just kind of knocked himself open there. But good match. Glad the Vision won. And then up next we had. Stephanie Vaquer versus Io Sky for the vacant Women's World Championship.
Yes.
In probably, maybe. I really like this match. I think it might be my favorite of the night, actually.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I would agree. Second longest match of the night. 20-minute, just, you know, both of those women put on an exceptional match.
Yeah, as we knew they were. They're both incredible individually, but
yeah,
I think this is the first time they faced each other. I might be wrong on that, but
I believe so. I think it's the first time. Definitely the first time in WWE.
At least in the WWE, but I mean, fucking great match. I was happy that Stephanie got the win. She's got a bright future ahead of her.
Absolutely.
And Io Sky has had the title quite a lot recently as well. So.
Right. Io's been WWE Women's Champion. Has she ever been Women's World Champion?
Yeah, that's what she's been holding recently.
Oh, was it? That was the last title that she had? Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure if that was... I couldn't remember if that was the women's title or if that was the WWE...
Yeah, because she's only been on Raw. SmackDown's got the WWE Women's Championship. So,
okay.
And she cashed in on... she had the Money in the Bank briefcase, didn't she? And she cashed in. Really cool match. And, I mean...
I love that... For another reason, I love that she used... what the hell did they call that? The move at the end, the spiral tap.
Oh yeah, spiral tap. Yeah.
Which just freaking hilarious! It is wild that the very next morning I turn on the TNA channel on my Samsung smart TV, the whatever network, you know, whatever they have it on. It's like channel 2048 on on my Samsung TV. I turn it on and there's AJ Styles versus Jeff Jarrett for the TNA World, for the it was at the time the NWA World Championship.
Which
shout out to our previous episode. Well, we've talked about the TNA World Championship, but this
title history.
But yeah. this was the NWA World Heavyweight Championship in TNA. And AJ Styles wins the match with the spiral tap.
No fucking
way. It's the same fucking move. Same freaking move.
She hit that move so perfectly.
Dude,
like,
it was incredible. Square.
She hit it so well. Yeah. I haven't seen that move in a long time either.
I really would like her to use that move as a finish. I would love to see that as her finisher moving forwards. I am not a fan of the SVB.
I don't care for it too much.
Yeah, that is my only criticism. If you forced me to make a criticism of Stephanie Vaquer's moveset, it is the SVB. It doesn't look. I don't know if it just looked different in Japan or when she was doing it to different people. I don't know what it is about that move. But it doesn't, it's one of those moves where you look at it and it really doesn't look like it hurts. Like the way she does it doesn't seem like a realistic move that would hurt because of the way she's holding them and the way she drops them. It just looks like she's kind of rolling them through. But there are other moves that are,
to me, look, the SVB to me just looks like another move in a match.
I've seen you
see a backbreaker move like that all the time in matches.
Yeah, that's more what it is. It doesn't look special. It doesn't look unique in any way. So as a finishing,
whereas if she was doing the spiral tap, then it's like, you know, when she goes to the top rope, you know what's coming, like that. That's
exactly.
Obviously a lot more risk going into a move like that because it's quite difficult to hit, but
it just doesn't look like it has, even for moves that seem silly. Like, and I know this is a weird criticism coming from someone who is a complete proponent of the Bailey to belly, you know, but there's a reason for that. Like I don't know. There's something about it. I don't dig the SVB. I don't see it as a viable finisher move for whatever reason.
Yeah, I hear that.
And I just think there's something that, I think Stephanie Vaquer needs that spiral tap is a fantastic finisher. You know, I think she deserves something more special than the SVB as a finishing move.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
You know, but other than that, just an absolutely phenomenal match. I don't know what else you want to say. I mean, I don't know that I could say that's a match of the year contender.
But so far I would definitely put it in
top 10, maybe even top 5.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, I mean, I'd still think that Rhea Ripley Io Sky match from Evolution was high up there.
Yeah, that might be match. That's a match of the year contender. Io Sky
is definitely a match of the year contender. Yeah.
Io Sky is easily probably has 3 of the top 10 matches of the year.
She's had a hot year for sure.
Man, that's something I can't wait to do. I can't wait to do our match of the year roundups in December at the end of the year.
Well, our end of year, generally our end of year best of, they're always a lot of fun doing those episodes. Next up we had CM Punk and AJ Lee versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch in a mixed tag team match.
Yeah, longest
29
match.
Minutes 18 seconds. Yeah. Longest fucking match.
Yeah, almost 30 minutes. That is a lot. That is a long
match.
Yeah,
added
in
with entrances and video package. That's like a 45 minute segment right there.
Yeah.
This I mean, obviously, it was a very different match, the previous one. The last, you know, the women's championship match was very much more, like a wrestling match. This one's much more. It was a bit more fun of a match, if you know what
yeah.
I mean. But definitely, if I was to choose, yeah, I would say that this match and the women's match were my two favorite of the night. And I definitely think this match delivered as well in what it was meant to. It was just a bit wild. It was a bit wacky. Everyone had cool moments there.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, everybody,
the table spot was great. I enjoyed that. That was cool.
The table spot was great. The spamming finishers, the minute of just like everyone doing everyone's moves, you know, like
yeah,
AJ doing a stomp to Becky Lynch and like right, everybody yeah, just yeah. just all of it. What I'll say is. It was one of the smoothest matches of the night too. Like the, yeah. especially for AJ Lee,
there was someone in that match. Yeah, exactly. AJ's like been off for fucking since yeah. 2015.
Stephanie and EO was smooth, but like it was yeah. noticeably smooth in ways that I was not expecting with this tag match.
Yeah.
You know, they're because a lot of those, when you have those back and forth, like boom, 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 all those spots that require like everyone being in the same spot. Like what was the one where Seth had, I don't even remember how the spot went, but like Seth was holding AJ's foot or something. And then CM Punk like lifted her up and Seth accidentally helped AJ like land on Becky. It was,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you're
talking about.
Accidental sliced bread. Sliced bread. That's yeah. right. Yeah.
Yeah. And landing. Yeah. She wound up doing sliced bread on Seth while also landing on Becky. Like fucking, there yeah. was so many.
And it was pretty good. Like when Seth had Becky up for a military press to like drop onto AJ yeah. and then completely missed.
Yeah. yeah. Oh man. And the lead up to this, the lead up to AJ's return, the way that both of them put over their wives in the lead up. I mean, even before AJ's return, the Seth and Becky like power couple was beginning. So like, you know, when Becky was the one that hit the low blow on Punk during SummerSlam? Was that how long was that?
That was, no, that was in Paris, Clash in
that
Paris.
That was Clash in Paris. Jesus, that was, all right. That was in Paris. The bleed over to everything was just crazy. Anyway, yeah. Oh, that's right. Because I keep getting confused because SummerSlam was earlier this year. It was a lot earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just phenomenal the way that they worked that into just putting the women over even more. I love to see it as a happily married man. I love seeing dudes put their wives over, you know.
Not only that, like the reason it was probably quite seamless is like you got AJ and CM Punk, and obviously Becky and Seth, who all have amazing chemistry with each other because they are married. They know each other inside out. So yeah, that they know each other, and you know there's good communication there. So. I was reading somewhere. I don't know how true this is. I bet you any money it's true. But apparently, CM Punk and Seth Rollins are like best of friends.
Yeah. Now they are.
Which would, yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, like, I don't know how much of their. I don't even know how much of their previous feud or anything was other than the really real stuff, you know, the really real stuff that happened 10 years ago about things, you know, that, yeah, that may or may not have really been true, or may or may not have just been, everything was a little like, you know, they shot into a work, if anything, for sure.
Yeah.
There may have been real true, like, temporary animosity. I mean, we know CM Punk was a polarizing figure for quite a while, and we know that he had his own problems and his own issues that he went through, you know, during that time off. Nobody's perfect, but yeah, if you tried to tell me that CM Punk and Seth Rollins legitimately hate each other as people now, I really wouldn't believe it. But
yeah,
but
I don't buy it. But that's okay. Yeah. That's professional wrestling. Yeah. You know, that's always been the, you know, we're meant to believe that they do not, and that's the whole purpose of the storyline. So, but yeah, really, I enjoyed that match a lot. It delivered. I don't know where they go from here. Probably head towards CM Punk versus Seth and AJ versus Becky now, maybe.
Yeah.
In the next PLE, I suspect.
I mean, we could certainly see though both of those titles around the waist of CM Punk and AJ Lee.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know. I don't know where they go with it, but it certainly doesn't seem like. Well, actually, I do. They absolutely are going to continue this, because I don't know if you saw Becky Lynch's video proof of the rogue bee that was stinging her during the match, and that was Becky Lynch posted on Instagram. I think it was yesterday afternoon or some point. The video, it was a different angle with that clearly showed this two-dimensional bee buzzing around that was exactly where she was tapping. That wasn't actually her tapping. It was her trying to smack a bee off of
very
her.
Good.
I nearly peed my pants when I saw that, like, legitimately, because I had to, you know, that was just too freaking funny. Too freaking funny.
Just looking now, Seth Rollins, I just remembered. So, if you didn't see the post show.
I did not actually.
Seth Rollins, had a face off with Cody Rhodes because.
Oh.
At Crown Jewel, obviously it's Crown Jewel, so it will be Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes for the Crown Jewel Championship.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They did announce that.
Yeah, it looks like, well, it's on the Wikipedia page, and obviously, yeah, that's... And then obviously it would be Stephanie Vaquer versus Nia Jax or Jade Cargill, depending on who wins there. Or Tiffany Stratton, because they've got their match on SmackDown. So they're going to have with neither having a scheduled title defense before Crown Jewel, this set up the men's Crown Jewel Championship match, which WWE Chief Content Officer Triple H subsequently confirmed. So yeah.
So they are having the Crown Jewel Championship match at Crown Jewel Perth. Will they have the giant Crown Jewel Championship belts that they said would never leave Saudi Arabia though?
Seems that way.
I honestly, you know me, I was a proponent of this. I was a fan of it. I don't have a problem with the Crown Jewel Championship. I don't have a problem with the champion versus champion for a mega title that isn't a real title. It's just bragging rights. It's a bragging rights title.
Yeah.
Because here is the thing that people need to remember. the title is not the physical belt that you wear around your waist. The title is the title is the words Crown Jewel Champion Cody Rhodes. The title is like Mr. Did You Know is your title because no one else has. Yeah.
But there's not to you me. Could, I don't see the Crown Jewel. The Crown Jewel Championship to me is no different to the Royal Rumble winner, the King of the Ring winner.
Like, exactly.
To me, it is something that happens once a year, and basically the accolade you've got is of the year 2025. One champion faced the other champion, and they decided who the better champion was. And that year, they won the Crown Jewel Championship.
Right. The championship belt, because that is called a championship belt. It is a physical representation of the title. But you have that title. If you don't have the belt, you're still the champion. Like when Kevin Owens tried to steal the title, whenever someone steals the belt, you know, or whatever, it doesn't make them champion because the title of champion still is the person who won the match that gave them the title of champion of this and this champion.
Exactly.
So that's why I've never had an issue with, I didn't have an issue with the greatest Royal Rumble championship title either. Yeah. What I had a problem with was all it was the UK. It was the UK championship visage on a green belt. That's what I had the problem with was they were just using the image of an existing championship with a different color strap when they could have had their own thing. You know, they could have just made it its own thing. But I get it. But I mean, to some degree, I get it too. They probably had, you know, they already had a UK title. They already had one. Anyway, bottom line, I'm glad. I'm really happy to hear. I'm actually happy to hear that. Out of anything.
Yeah, me too. And plus, we haven't seen.
But this will
Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes since Cody Rhodes came to the WWE because they had their series of matches. I think the last time we had that match was their Hell in a Cell match with Cody's torn pec. So
they have a good
that match.
What's that?
There's a good. There's a good story. Yeah, there is a good story going into this. So
yeah, and I could also
it'd be interesting.
I could also easily see CM Punk getting involved to cost Seth the match.
Easily
because
or at least keeping the Vision at bay because obviously the Vision could easily get involved.
Sure. Yep.
But honestly, if you think about it, this could now. Slowly, we're edging towards War Games, and you could eventually have, like, Seth, Bronson Reed, Bron Breakker, and then, I don't know, a few other people. And then you've got the Usos, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk on the other team. Like, you could easily have that.
See,
so.
Yeah, I really don't know how they... See, I really, really hope they don't wind up doing something and having Brock Lesnar be like the secret extra person, because I mean they could do a war game, they could do a 4-on-4 war games, they've done 4-on-4 war games, so they could
we'll see I don't see Brock being in a war games match personally.
No,
I don't think that's the thing that's gonna happen.
No, I mean they could even
we'll see
what they do. I don't know where they're going to go from there, but
up next we had, and the main event was Cody Rhodes versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE Undisputed Championship.
Yeah.
In a pretty decent match. I mean,
in a match that the only reason why it was the main event was because Cody Rhodes is the Undisputed WWE Champion and it was their first thing on ESPN that they wanted to show. You know, I've said it multiple times already. Now, Cody Rhodes is in his Hulk Hogan era. You know, Cody Rhodes is the all American boy You know, he's, you know, he is the champion. He is the poster boy. You know, he is the every, you know, he's the red, white, and blue. He's for the kids, you know, which, you know, exactly was, which was where John Cena was for, you know, he's the new John Cena, you know, he's the Hulk Hogan, John Cena now of the now.
Yeah.
Which yeah, is, yeah, yeah. which is fine. But as a as a WWE fan who has been, you know, not a new person, not a trying to get new eyes for it, I really wanted him to lose. I really thought giving Drew the title, at least for right now, would have been special. One, it would have made the ESPN event more impactful and more special, because then you have Cody Rhodes on the hunt again. And I thought that was what they were going to do. I thought they were going to give the new ESPN viewers the Cody Rhodes chasing the title again. But I guess they didn't. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do that. But they did have a little. It was a little screwy. I have a feeling that Drew McIntyre is going to have some strong words for referee Ryan Tran. He's going to be quite disappointed. So we'll see where that goes. I mean, I don't want to talk.
See where it goes. I
don't know how much we'll talk. It was a good match.
I'll get into the general. The general PLE itself, yeah. And what I think of it, because it was a good show, but it didn't feel like there's two matches on this card that felt like a PLE.
Well, that's
that's Stephanie Vaquera and Io Sky and the mixed tag match. What I didn't understand is and I think it's probably because this show being on ESPN was maybe slightly bit of a rush, Whereas Netflix, they had a massive run up to prep.
Yeah,
for
and
it.
We'll talk.
The first ever show they had on Netflix was, it felt like a PLE. It felt huge.
Now, and the first Raw they had
on Netflix, but this one felt, it just didn't feel like a PLE. It could have been a Monday Night Raw.
Yep, and we'll talk about that a little more in detail in the Patreon extra bonus episode. We do talk about the ESPN, all the things about the new, you know, the new partnership with ESPN. So if you want to hear our thoughts about that, head on over to patreon.com/punkstalkwrestling, because you can sign up, you can subscribe for free and get all of our bonus content. Right now, all the bonus content is free. You just have to subscribe. So... Yeah, Cody Rhodes retains, and I guess because they need it for further storylines. But yeah, we'll see where it goes. What do you want to give this could have been a Saturday night's main event. But they needed
Straight off the bat, I've given it like a 15.
Oh,
I'm not
really.
Yeah, okay. it didn't hit me.
That's surprisingly high.
Really? Shit.
I was going to give it an 11.
11? Yeah. Jesus, that's
it's really low. Probably one of the lowest ratings that I have given because they marketed this as a PLE. And it wasn't. And it wasn't a PLE. It would have been a Saturday night's main event at best. Even though some people don't realize Saturday night's main event isn't a PLE either. This was, you know, this,
but the thing is, I already would have given it a higher score.
It was an in your house.
If it wasn't a PLE,
I would have. Yeah, I would have given it a higher score if it wasn't a PLE. But also, the Cena Lesnar match was by far the weakest match of the night. So to have that be pointless. I mean, I honestly, if it's setting up future things, well, you can't even see what it's setting up. It was bad. It was not good. You know, like it's still, you know, it's still, you know, you still in D&D, you would still be a, it would still be a death save. Like it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a failure, but it was barely passable. It was barely above average in my opinion. And the only thing that, the only thing that kept it above average was Stephanie Vaquer and Io Sky. Like if we didn't have, if you didn't have those two matches, it probably, I probably would have given it a 10. I was really surprised at how little it really mattered.
I really feel you like know? Because it was the first one on ESPN and there's potentially new people watching.
Yeah.
I would have had the last match end with something that would develop a story that would cause people to then tune in.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. If I actually paid $30 to see this, I would be pissed. I would be disappointed if I actually paid money to watch this. That's how I feel. Like, you know, I don't think it was great. I don't know why. I mean, even ESPN, they literally came out and said they were it was underwhelming for them.
They said it was C.
Yeah,
the show
a C
average.
Plus. Yeah, a C plus, which is basically that's what
the excellent Vaquer versus Sky match saved this show from being truly average.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. You can't blame one single person for this.
And at the end of the day as well, like WWE as of late, like PLE wise has been hit after hit.
Yeah.
It's just been great. You're not every PLE, you're going to hit a dud every so often. And this was a dud. So.
I think the lack of female representation, regardless of, I mean, there was, who did we have? We had
four women.
Yeah, we had four women total. We had one, two, three, four. We had four, six, eight. We had ten men and four women in this event.
Yeah.
They should have at least had
the women's triple threat that's happening on SmackDown next week could have been on this.
Yeah, party. or the women's US title. Like, what the fuck are you doing with Julia? What the fuck are we doing with Julia? Like,
I know.
What the fuck?
That thing's getting lost, isn't it?
What the fuck? Anyway, So with a 15 and 11, that meets in the middle at a 13.
13. 13
13 is our rating. We got to figure out a way to get our ratings onto the Wikipedia
page. Yeah, we need to figure
out
how we're going to put these together.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there it is. There's WrestlePalooza. I can't really say much else about it. It was average.
Me neither.
It was average. It was
average.
It was barely above average. All right. So we still haven't 100% decided what we're going to do next for next week's episode. So next week, if it should come out now, we say it's going to be next week, but you know, sometimes we accidentally take a week off. We've been an every other week podcast for a couple of weeks now.
It's been busy.
It has. Both of us have picked up a lot in all the good ways. So, you know, if you're missing our podcast every week because we're not uploading every week because we just aren't able to, you know, apologies. Sorry. But we're glad that our listeners have stuck with us, so far and that you're still enjoying what we got. Shout out to all of you. Shout out to all of our listeners that continue to enjoy what we're doing.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to Wikipedia. Support Wikipedia. That is where we get most of all our information. Also, if you have, if you're any, anyone you know are Wikipedia editors that have the ability, we would love to talk to you about how to get, you know, our pay-per-view rankings on the Wikipedia pages, or get a Wikipedia page for the podcast. That would be great.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Shout out to Al at 2K and Kaylee at 2K UK, WWE 2K25, available everywhere that you can get video games. Also to at www.2k.com. I want a quick shout out. I wanted to try to put these in the episode somewhere naturally, but I just didn't figure out a way to do this. But for our listeners, this is something new. We have two promos. We have two additional promos. What do we call it? I guess we call these deals. I don't know how we would call them, but we're putting them in the shout out section at the end of the podcast right now. We're going to try to drop these in a little more naturally. But here you go. I'm going to do this for the first time and figure it out. You know what? I don't know. I'll just explain what it is. We signed up for these promo deals to give our listeners for some things that kind of align with what we like. So here's one of them from Old Glory. Old Glory music and sports entertainment merchandise. If you go to oldglory.com and sign up and just buy anything from oldglory.com, and you use the code PTW at checkout, and you will get 15% off of your entire order. It is the largest.
Look at that.
Yeah, it is the largest discount that they have available, and it's only available for listeners. Go to oldglory.com. Yeah, it is oldglory.com. And use the code PTW at checkout. They are licensed retailers of a lot of band merchandise and other entertainment. We're punk rock guys and we love all sorts of music. So I mean, yeah, you want to get a Bob Marley t-shirt as well as, you know, a Hobbit hoodie, or you want some, you want a Dr. Seuss beanie for your kid, and you also want an AC/DC mouse pad. Yeah. Old Glory. I don't know if either of those things really exist. I mean, a lot of those things exist. I don't know if they just exactly have those things that I just mentioned, but they've got a lot of stuff. They've got stuff, you know, they've got stuff from AC/DC and the Beatles and Bob Marley. They've got heavy metal stuff for Black Sabbath and Danzig and Kiss and Iron Maiden and Rob Zombie. All this stuff. They've got Bad Brains. They've got Circle Jerks. They've got The Clash. They've got Dead Kennedy, Green Day, Misfits, Ramones, Sex Pistols. So like, they've got a lot of punk rock merchandise over there. So it fits directly with what we do. All sorts of stuff. I mean, they've got lifestyle things like biker lifestyle, hippie lifestyle, cosplay, LGBTQ lifestyle stuff, drugs. It says drugs as one of the subs.
That's brilliant.
It's right next to spiritual. It's cool. Yeah, and gothic. So head on over to oldglory.com, get 15% off your order. And I do have to say that we do also get a 15% commission from anything that you buy. So everybody wins. Also, this doesn't apply at all to you, because you don't drink, but I do, and I certainly could have. And I certainly could have used this. I certainly could have used this past weekend from liqueur.com, and that is LIQURE. Liqueur.com has what they say are science-backed ingredients to help you feel much better after drinking. They are hangover gummies in multiple flavors, and they will sell them to you if you buy them. at liqueur.com. It's just, I'm terrible. I'm really bad at this.
They sell them to you if you buy them. I mean,
they sell them to you, but you'll get this. You get 20%. You get 20% off your entire order at liqueur.com with the promo code PTW at checkout. Once again, Punk Stock Wrestling, we're giving you the ability to get some things cheaper. And also, and it helps us. It directly helps us. Literally everybody wins. There it is. Oldglory.com and liqueur.com. Our first two official deals from Punk Stock Wrestling. So there it is. I'm gonna I'll find more clever ways to slide them in.
We'll
work on that. we gotta work on it. This first, hey man, first time. If you want to know how rough we are at our first times, go to patreon.com/punkstalkwrestling and sign up for free and scroll all the way back to episode 0 from August of 2023 if you want to see how bad our first time at things are. Yeah.
And how long. I say how long. It's,
oh
I mean,
my God, that was...
Our episodes have been super long lately.
Well, but that episode, that first episode, I think was 3.5 hours.
My God.
Yeah. Remember, and I used to try to edit the episodes. Now I just put them together, and I, unless there's something egregious that I have to take out, I don't even do that anymore. Yeah. But there you go. There you go. Those two are things that just happened. That was my surprise for you that we had. Also, I don't know. You might start seeing some other ads popped into the podcast. I don't know if that actually is going to start, but we also signed up for a thing that I don't think we've been accepted yet. But we have signed up for a thing that will, you know, that will put, you know, puts an ad or two, but we do get to choose. We can opt out of certain specific things. So like, we have some level of control over the ads that are placed within our podcast. Honestly, all that does is it helps us. It helps us. It gives us a couple bucks. Unless, you know, and we are out, and we are also out there looking for any additional sponsorships that people might want. We're still a very budding podcast. We don't have a lot of followers and listeners yet. We know that. We're you know,
by God, actually, that's saying that. Share this podcast with your friends.
We forget to say the most simplest of things to our listeners. But honestly, please, Anthony Porter, share the podcast, please, on your page. We love you, buddy. Marky, I know you listen. You share the podcast. All of our, you know, Justin, I'm pretty sure Justin still listens. Shout out to Justin. These are all just our main, you know, these are our personal friends too. but also, like, you know, we love you guys. We love the fact that you guys keep listening to what we do. Share the love. The only reason why we do this is because we just want to share our, we're two punks with punk opinions on wrestling, and we enjoy doing this, and we hope you know we're glad the people that listen to it enjoy listening to it.
And regardless, we just like talking about wrestling anyway.
We love it.
We just so happen to record it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you like it, we love it. If you don't, even if you don't like it, share it and tell people how much you hate it. I would be perfectly happy with that. I would love negative reviews. I would love to like get, you know, online hate because those, you know, that drives up engagement. So, you know, tell us we suck. Tell us we're horrible and our opinions are dumb. Oh, also just a quick shout out to ourselves for, we didn't even really talk about our, actually, I don't know. I even know where I was going with that. We were going to talk, I was going to say something about something, but I don't remember. So if I figure it out, if I remember it, we'll shout it out next time. I was gonna say something, but it probably doesn't need to be said.
And that's all the shout-outs, right?
I think so, unless you got anything else. Subscribe for free at patreon.com/punkstalkwrestling. Interact with us on social media, Instagram and Threads at punkstalkwrestling, YouTube/punkstalkwrestling, and email us at punkstalkwrestling@gmail.com. Now we did it. Now we got everything.
Now we did it.
Yep. So.
Yeah, I got nothing, so I got no shouts.
All right. Well, then that's it. Then that's really it.
That really is it, I guess, yeah.
All right. Well,
okay.
See ya. I got pee again, so I can hurry this up.
All right, fuck, jeez. Yeah, bye. Okay. Went with this name, huh?
Do you like this name? No, not at all. Zero. Yeah, I don't think.
Okay, me
I don't. I don't think anyone likes this name. I don't think Triple H likes this name. I think everyone who's had to say Wrestlepalooza says it with disdain. I think
Wrestlepalooza is the brainchild. That the name is the brainchild of Paul Heyman, because
right.
It used to be an old ECW pay-per-view,
and that's why they used it, is because they already owned the name when they bought all the rights to ECW.
But then you've got Unforgiven, No Mercy, Judgment Day. There's so many names
because this is the first. Because it's their first on ESPN, they wanted to make it special. So I guess they maybe wanted the word wrestling in the title.
They wanted wrestling.
Yep. You've nailed every single point of that. Is what I would say is all the reasons they needed the word wrestle in the name.
Because
everybody calls it WWE. Everybody calls it WWE. They don't say World Wrestling Entertainment when they talk about WWE.
No.
They didn't do it back in WWF. They would say WWF. They wouldn't say, you know, everybody calls wrestling by the letters of their name.
Yeah.
Because everyone has been an acronym except for NXT.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Still hilarious to me. But yeah, I think that's exactly it. They already owned it, so they didn't have to file for a copyright of anything.
Right.
They needed the word wrestling in the title because it's brand new for ESPN.
Yeah.
And also probably because it came up so quickly, like we'll get it. Well, you know what? Why don't we get into it now? Why don't we get into it before we get into any of the stuff about the event?
All right, let me do my little rundown.
We'll do the rundown first, and then we'll get into all the things.
On-screen personal shit. Yeah.
Yeah.